Hi guys, this is Future Editing Karen here. I just wanted to say with this episode, we had some audio quality issues and we've done our best to edit it to make it sound as good as we possibly can, but the sound quality is not quite where we'd like it to be, so we apologize for that. Things will be sounding much better in the next episode. And without further ado, here is episode 5.
Hello, this is Karen.
Hi, this is Katie.
And welcome to episode 5 of the Neptune Files. We are two sisters who are on the run to Mexico.
That's true. We are currently on the run to Mexico and we are usually on the run to Mexico to get steroids.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get jacked.
Yeah.
Let's table that.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. We have a lot to unpack in this episode.
Right.
But first, we need to talk about a few, you know, things of burning importance.
Mm-hmm. Housekeeping.
It's funny because when other podcasts talk about housekeeping, they have like sponsors. They're like, follow us, like, and subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And our business is like, we need to talk about nutritional yeast.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing is I wanted to issue a couple of slight corrections to things talked about in previous episodes because we just can't let these things go. We can't say something, you know, incorrect or incomplete and then just go on and sleep at night.
Yeah. We can't just be wrong. Not that we have to be right. We just want to fess up to it when we're wrong.
By the way, we're not actually, neither of these are things that we were wrong about. They're just things that we didn't have complete knowledge of. Mm. Things that we were missing.
Yeah.
Although we probably said things that are wrong too, which is fine too. Mm-hmm. And if we knew about it, we would also correct those things.
Yeah.
We just don't know yet. But the first thing is, so in the first episode, we talked about how that first scene with Veronica outside the Camelot Motel was cut on the Hulu version.
Right.
And we were like, why would they do that? Why did Hulu cut it? That's weird. Mm-hmm. Well, I realized that I'm pretty sure that that episode was cut from the original episode that aired. So
it's on the DVD, but was not on the CW?
Exactly. So I noticed that in my DVD box set, I looked at kind of like one of the details in one of the pamphlets or something, and it said with bonus unaired opening sequence. Oh. So that tells me that they re-added that back in for the DVD as a bonus feature. So then the next thing to correct is in the last episode, we were really thrown by the whole, you know, plot with the gamers and technology, yeah, et cetera. Still don't know a lot of that stuff, but one small detail that did become clear is that the way that they were led to Gameland is because the phone number associated with Grantastic, whatever, was linked to a payphone that was outside of, that was in front of Gamerland.
Right.
So yeah, so that's how they knew to go to Gameland. Which makes a lot more sense than what we were speculating about, which was like, they just looked for a place where nerds hang out.
Where the nerds are.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that does make sense. That explains it.
So, anyway, now everything makes sense. And now now we're on to a new episode where I have to confess that when this episode ended, I was like, God damn it. I'm going to have to rewatch this because I don't know what I just watched. But
really?
That was my first thought. However, okay, I was able to do some research. Reddit really came through to me. And then I rewatched just a couple of small things. And so now I believe that I understand what happened in this episode.
Okay.
But it's very convoluted. This Veronica Mars, it's like, it might as well be, you know, War and Peace. No, but not War and Peace. Like, I'm trying to think of something that's complicated. It's like the Thomas Crown Affair. I haven't seen that, but
haven't
it sounds complicated.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a movie that old dudes like.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason, this episode stood out in my memory. I remembered the gist of it pretty well. Mm-hmm. And the details came together pretty well also.
Okay, table that. First, before we get into talking about the episode, I need to know what food or drink you enjoyed while you watched episode 5.
Yeah, so I was eating lunch while I watched this, which means I was eating what I eat for lunch most days, with a minor twist, which is beans, a vegetable or two, which in this case was kale, a little bit of rice, and some tofu.
Mm. What kind of beans?
White beans, cannellini beans.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a nice little bowl.
Yeah, it was tasty.
Do you put like some sriracha on it or anything like that?
So I usually do some sort of dressing. This time the tofu and rice were leftovers, so they were already seasoned and a little bit saucy. So just mm-hmm. salt and peppered and
saucy.
And straight up ate it.
Nice.
And I drank green tea.
This is the first time you've had something besides just straight up plain water to share with our audience.
Is that true? Didn't I have like sparkling water one day?
Maybe.
Did I have coffee one? No, maybe not.
No.
Oh. Well, I was going to say one day, I swear I'll have, you know, my snack will just be like, oh, I had, you know, normal popcorn, or I had a sandwich, a turkey sandwich.
Well, that's boring.
Okay, good, because that probably won't actually happen.
You need like some booze, like those giant beers you've been drinking.
Oh, yeah. Those giant beers are good. Yeah. Have you ever had a crowler?
No. In fact, I think I just heard of them. I knew what a growler was, but I just mm-hmm. heard about crowlers.
I also just heard about them when we bought them. So, you know, in this quarantine situation, you can pick up your beer from the brewery. Well, I think I've been mostly watching these episodes earlier in the day, so I'm less likely to be drinking when I watch them.
See, I'm the opposite. I've been watching them mostly fairly late, not super late at night, but like 9 or 10 o'clock at night on typically a Friday night. So that's why, you know, things were so crazy the first couple of weeks.
Oh, yes.
But last night I, you know, it wasn't too exciting, but I had some Ritter chocolate.
What kind?
Hazelnuts. It was the milk chocolate with whole hazelnuts.
Ooh.
And I had
Ritter is fantastic.
Bar, which is a little more than I plan to eat, but it's fine.
That's okay. It's hard with the Ritters. They're so tasty. And they're just like such nice little square, you know? And you're like, I'm going to eat this square, the whole square. And then you look at the servings, you're like, oh, it's like 3 servings, but fuck it. I'm just going to eat this whole square.
Well, here's what's annoying. It says that there's 3 servings in the pack, but you can't divide it into 3
mm-hmm.
with those squares. There's 16 squares. That's not divisible by 3. You know, another cool fact about Ritter is that the size is supposed to be able to fit in a men's sport coat in that interior pocket.
Oh.
That they get. Isn't that fun? And that's why it's called Ritter Sport.
Oh, I love that they're watching out for portability.
Yeah.
In shaping their candy bar.
That's fun. Okay, the next thing we need to cover, Katie, is that this episode obviously features people crossing the border, going in and out of Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually have done this as small children. Our parents thought it was a great idea to take us to Tijuana, Rosarita, places.
Wait,
like
so
that.
Have you not done this since you were a small child?
Correct. So yeah. Oh. So as children, we were like crossing the border willy nilly with our parents.
Yeah.
Because they thought that was a fun time when we were born and lived in San Diego during the first few years of our lives.
Yeah.
But I haven't returned. I haven't returned back since. Well, I have been to Mexico as a teenager, but flew there, not to a border. But when I lived in San Diego, you and your friend, who can remain anonymous if she chooses not to be implicated in the story, came to visit me. And then you guys drove into Mexico for like 1 night, 2 nights?
Mm, 2 nights, yeah.
Tell me all about it. And you were underage, I believe. I think you were like 19.
We were 20.
Right? Oh, you were 20. Okay. So you were just barely underage in the US, but.
Yeah, she might have actually been 21. She's a little bit older than me.
Okay. You weren't super young, but you couldn't drink in the US.
Yeah, we were in college. Yeah. So we decided to take a very wholesome 2 days in Mexico.
And what did you get up to?
Just, you know, wholesome walks on the beach and eating tacos. Just normal, you know. Normal thing to do in Mexico.
You know, strippers, drugs and piñatas. Those people coming up behind you and pouring shots down your throat against your will.
I did see those people. I can't say that I saw any strippers or drugs or piñatas, although I probably saw a piñata at some point. But I can say that I've also been across the border since then. So I definitely, while watching their border crossing scene, I definitely was familiar with, you know, so here's what it's like for anyone who hasn't crossed the border to Mexico. It's also changed a little bit. So when I went when I was 20, you like drive down And then we parked at the border, and then you get on a bus and they just drive you into Mexico. There's also like a walkway. Wait,
you can't drive yourself?
You can, but I don't remember why that wasn't a good option.
Because you were going to get too wasted.
No, it was, I mean, we stayed for 2 days.
That's plenty of time to get
Yeah, but we certainly could have driven in and out, but I think certainly vehicle security is a question. So I can't remember exactly what the reasons were. I think there's also, like, depending on where you're going, you, like, might be stopped by the police, and the police can be a little and basically it seemed like the better thing to do for us to not drive into Mexico on that trip. So the bus just like drives you into Mexico and that's it. And then coming back is where they ask you many more questions. But of the course. Other time that I've gone since then, we did drive because we didn't stay overnight or anything. We just drove in for the day. So then we did get the experience of sitting in the traffic. Also the traffic coming back over is a question, and buses get a priority lane. So I think that was part of the reason why we didn't drive over.
So if people don't know, so basically when you leave the U.S., you just drive straight through to Mexico. Do they even stop you? Do they even ask you any questions?
They have started to. So when I went more recently, when you're driving in, it's still a much less thorough search, but they'll like randomly pull people off and, you know, ask to check your trunk and stuff and ask you some questions, but they might just have you like roll down your window and you like tell them where you're going and then they just wave you through.
It's just for show. Mexico doesn't actually want whoever comes.
Yeah. Like, whoever wants to go to Mexico is fine with them.
They're chill about it.
Yeah. So, but then on the way back,
when we come back into the U.S., it's like crazy.
Yeah. You sit in traffic as you see them doing for like 2 hours, you know, to go this last stretch before the checkpoint. So you're like basically idling and creeping forward for 2 hours. Anyone who lives in a city with a bridge that's very busy might be familiar with this. It's a lot like that. It's like trying to cross the Bay Bridge at 5 p.m. So yeah, you're sitting there in your car and then people are like walking up and down trying to sell you stuff. And if it's hot out, then they're especially trying to sell you water, which actually could be useful. But yeah, they're trying to sell you like souvenirs and stuff while you're sitting there in traffic. And then, and then you pull up and then they ask, you know, to see your passports and everything, and which they didn't used to do, but they do that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how wasted did you get in Mexico?
Not at all. I would never.
Were you as wasted as Logan dry heaving in his dad's car?
Well, I mean, certainly that did not happen.
You're really holding back on all the good stuff.
We did both inadvertently drink the water down there.
Were
yeah,
okay?
Don't do that. I mean, I'm here. We're both fine.
Oh,
we're both alive.
Well, at the time?
No, don't do that. Don't drink the water. Don't drink things with ice in it.
Except in resorts, they use like filtered water for the ice.
Yeah, we did not go to a resort.
I think now I've sufficiently grilled you about Mexico and left unsatisfied. And now let's talk about this episode. So you were saying that you remember this episode pretty clearly.
I do, yes. Which I think is because, you know, we see Veronica get burned again.
Yeah. I actually thought that this episode came a lot earlier in the season. And so when we actually saw Troy in multiple episodes, I was a little surprised. I didn't remember him being around this long until we found out his dark past.
Yep.
So as I was saying, this episode left me pretty confused. And, you know, I went to Wikipedia, which cleared up some things, but not every detail. And then I went onto the Veronica Mars subreddit, and somebody named Cloudor asked the question of...
Cloudor like Hodor, but clouds?
Maybe, yeah, Cloudor. And Cloudor said, "I'm on my first watch and I have just finished episode 5, You Think You Know Somebody, the one in which Veronica breaks up with Troy because of his drug scheme. The thing is, I don't understand his plan at all. Plus, he had another girlfriend, right? So he pretended to like Veronica in all previous episodes only for the purpose of smuggling drugs." And then user re-rambles came to save the day for all of us and explained the plot here. So I was able to use that and also with a little rewatching, kind of put together a timeline of what I think happened.
Okay.
So
that's actually a fair question that I hadn't really considered, was whether this whole relationship was a sham.
Right. So I think we should discuss that as well. But I thought maybe I would go through what I think is the timeline of events that happened in real time, opposed to what we see presented in the episode. Mm-hmm. So here's what I think happened. So first, Troy was attending a boarding school and he got kicked out along with his girlfriend, Shauna, for drug trafficking and possession. I think they said it was marijuana when Veronica confronted him.
Yes.
Then I believe Troy continued his relationship with Shauna on the down low, at least to some degree, or maybe not. Maybe they broke up, but clearly there was still a flame kept alive somewhere. Mm-hmm. So then Troy came back to Neptune after he was kicked out. And, you know, we see him meet Veronica and then they start dating and everything. And at this point, as I understand it, I think Troy is, you know, he doesn't have any schemes. He's not involved in any drugs that we know of. He's just chilling. Then this other kid who we met for the first time in this episode, Luke, made a deal with who I am calling Buff Dude.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, but he's like, he's all jacked. He looked like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. I think he owns the gym.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his hair looks like a quarantine bleach fail.
It's also very greasy looking.
It's probably sweat and gross. Gel. It is gross. So anyway, Luke makes this deal with Dog the Bounty Hunter to bring back some steroids from Mexico. And so maybe I should, let me look up this guy's name because I can't just call him Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Okay, and while you're looking that up, I just have to say, why is this dude enlisting high school students to go get his steroids?
Good question. So this is a part that I don't know the answer to. I don't know how Luke got hooked up with this guy. I don't know.
Well, I guess Luke does say at some point that he wanted to get jacked for baseball season. So he wanted the steroids. So I guess they were his steroids, sort of. But also probably more for this gym owner. But why send the kid?
I don't know. You know, because a kid is like young and vulnerable and maybe less suspicious coming in and out of the border. Maybe the border agents are like, let's go high school kids versus adults. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, it could be.
I don't know why teenagers would be less suspicious. So his name in the show is Hank Ziggy Zigman. Okay, so Hank. Right. Or Ziggy, not quite sure. He gives him the $8,000 to go get steroids in Mexico, which I imagine would buy a lot of drugs in Mexico. Just guessing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Especially steroids. I don't think they're... I mean, I've never bought steroids, so I don't know. But they're like not that hard to come by, I don't think.
I'm sure they're not since they're pretty, you know, prevalent. They're definitely out there.
Yeah.
The other thing about steroids is that there isn't just one drug that's called steroids. You know, there's all kinds of different substances that people take as performance enhancing drugs. And I think a lot of them are actually used clinically for certain medical conditions.
Right.
So it's not like cocaine or heroin or something where it's like just a recreational drug. Not the steroids are really a recreational drug, but you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like they're definitely out there, right? Like they're definitely out there and people can access them versus various ways, I'm sure.
Right.
Anyway, so Luke gets their steroids in Mexico and puts them in a pinata, or maybe they came to him in a pinata. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He brings them back over the border.
We see him collecting the pinata and there's a dumpster involved. So it's unclear whether the pinata with the steroids came out of the dumpster or whether the steroids were hidden in the dumpster and he got the pinata to put them in anyway.
Luke has procured a pinata full of steroids. They bring them back over the border and then they stop off at a diner called the USA Border Grill with an E and Diner. And I Googled it to see if this was a real place and I couldn't find anything. So I don't think so.
It's not a great name for a restaurant.
But, you know, gets right to the point.
That's true. You are in the USA and it's a grill and diner.
There you go. Yep. How do you pronounce grill with an E? The grill?
Grill. No, it's just grill. I think.
Yeah. So then when they're in the diner, Troy goes to quote unquote use the bathroom. But what he actually does while in the bathroom is he hides the steroids and he somehow gets rid of his car. I am not sure if that's by hiding it somewhere himself or by making a phone call to hire somebody to come steal a car. Not sure. So he did remove the steroids somehow from the pinata, but he left the pinata itself in the car and then somehow orchestrated the theft of his car.
Yes.
And he or the person who took his car removed the GPS tracker. So then at this point, his plan is, you know, his dad's going to find out the car was stolen. He's going to be busted, quote unquote. And then his parents are going to say, hey, you got to go to boarding school in Mexico, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to ship him off to boarding school. And then when he's en route, he's actually going to get back to that diner, recover the steroids, recover his car from the car from whoever. Mm-hmm. Or a new car. I think there was some question about that on.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I had assumed it was the same one, but then supposedly it gets, you know, chopped up at the chop shop. And which is when the pinata makes its way to a child's birthday party.
Yeah. So I think one possibility is that that car did get chopped up and he gets another car, buys a car from somebody down by near the border. Or the other possibility is that the chop shop was paid off or it was someone there who was in on it. So they didn't actually chop up the car. They just, you know, redirected it.
Oh, and took the pinata. Or just
took it somewhere. Okay. Yeah. And took the pinata out, but like.
Right. I hadn't thought about that.
So I'm not totally sure about that, but it was a green BMW 740i, they said at one point, I believe. So his plan is to pretend like he's going to boarding school, but actually get back to the restaurant, recover the car and the steroids, sell those steroids for money, presumably in the U.S., because if he can't take them back to Mexico and sell them for $8,000, I mean, I guess he could, but it would be much smarter to sell them in the U.S. where you could get more money for them, and then run off with Shauna. We don't know where they're going to run off to. At first, I was thinking they were running off to Mexico. Maybe they would be, but I think it could be, they could be running off anywhere.
Yeah.
So then Veronica and Keith look for the car. You know, Veronica traces it to the chop shop, the junkyard.
Where Weevil and, knows people. Weevil's uncle?
Yes. It was his uncle. And of course, we get an amazing scene where Veronica, you know, they're speaking the uncle is speaking Spanish, not Weevil, but the uncle is, you know, to not have Veronica understand him, but she understands everything he says because she's, because that's always a great, a great trope in a, in a show or movie.
Yeah. The stealth bilingualism.
Totally. Yeah. So they do trace the pinata, but the pinata is just full of candy. So they haven't found the steroids. Then they also are able to track the car tracker, but it's attached to a dog.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on who attached that, who the dog is or why, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't, it's like, so if that's someone else's dog, like, did they notice that their dog has a GPS tracker on it now? And
exactly.
Did they just say, oh, cool, and leave it there? Are they also, or are they just using it now to track their dog?
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I don't, I just wonder.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't want to put it on your own dog because then the search would lead back to you.
Right.
So, interesting. Not sure about that one.
And it seems like enough time has passed that if you put it on someone else's dog, their owner would have noticed.
Meanwhile, Keith runs a background check on Troy and gives that information to Veronica. And then, of course, Veronica runs a background check on his girlfriend. We'll have to get into that storyline next. Then Veronica calls Shauna, and then Shauna spills the plan to Veronica. So then Veronica knows what the plan is. She goes to the diner. She finds the steroids and takes them and flushes them down the toilet, replaces the bag that's supposed to have steroids in it with candy. And then meanwhile, she also takes a picture of the buff dude stealthily and sends the alert to the border crossing guys that this guy, like if you see this guy, he's got drugs. So the next time Hank, you know, tries to cross the border, they bust him. So yeah, I think that that's, as I understand it, that's the sequence of events with the plan with probably a few holes in it.
Yeah. Do they ever address why Shauna would have told Veronica the plan?
Well, Shauna just says she caught me off guard. So it seems like Shauna's probably just kind of not savvy. Or maybe Veronica somehow worked her magic on her and was like, you know, maybe Veronica persuaded her somehow. We're not really quite sure. Okay, here's what I'm going to do right now. I am pulling up Veronica Mars.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if it's the same car when he picks it up at the end. Okay. So I'm rewatching the end scene. He just got dropped off at the diner by a taxi and tells the driver, hey, this is between us, right? And then he goes into the bathroom of the diner, pulls a bag out from the vent. So that must be where he hid the steroids originally. Mm-hmm. And now he's getting into a car that it is not green. It's like brown.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think it was the same car.
Okay. So it's a different car. What's up with him just like getting cars? Like if he needed, you know, $8,000 of steroids to be able to run away, how's he just picking up a new luxury car?
True. I don't know. It's not really, I can't tell if it's a luxury car. It does look like a nice car. It's not a beater, but I can't tell that it's, you know, it doesn't necessarily look like it. You know, it might be kind of like an average car. Okay, I looked up how much a BMW 740i goes for, and apparently they are like $86,000. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised for an 09er that it wasn't something even more expensive. Obviously, it was less money back then, but,
right.
You know. Okay. So, yeah, that's the deal. What do we think of this whole situation?
Well, it's interesting that when, you know, after Keith runs the background check on Troy and then Veronica finds out and then she comes to him and kind of leads with like, oh, why didn't you tell me about all this stuff that happened in the past? Which, I mean, at that point, maybe as the viewer, you're on Team Troy of like, well, obviously you haven't been dating that long. Like maybe this would have come up. But then, of course, it turns out that she knows about this whole plot, which is, of course, a very different matter.
I wasn't sure Veronica knew at that point about the whole plot.
Oh, that then she called Shauna and found out after that?
Maybe. I'm honestly not sure. We don't really know because she probably wouldn't have wanted to reveal to Troy that she had figured out his whole plot and had thwarted it at that point. So if she did know the whole thing, she probably wouldn't have told him. I kind of feel like the way the show portrays it, that I would have been on Team Veronica saying, oh no, this kid has a shady past. He was previously arrested for drug trafficking. Mm-hmm. Of course, Veronica would break up with him. But I do hear what you're saying. And I feel like as an adult, I'm now, well, I was an adult when I watched it the first time, but I guess what I'm saying is thinking a little more about it. If this happened, I think he said 2 years ago or something like that, then he would have been 14, 15. He was arrested for selling marijuana. He was kicked out of a boarding school. I don't think that those are horrible character flaws necessarily. I mean, it certainly could be a big red flag, but, you know, he could be a decent guy and have made mistakes in his past. And I agree that you don't necessarily have to reveal, as you said, your deepest, darkest secrets to somebody who you haven't been dating very long. So
yeah. Well, and I guess when I was saying I was on Team Troy in that scene, it's not that, I mean, also in Veronica's shoes, if you find these things out about someone that you've been dating, then yeah, there's probably concerning. And two years is actually not that long in teenager years, I think. I mean, it's like you were a teenager then and now you're an older teenager now. So I do think they are fine grounds for, you know, doing whatever you might be concerned about when you find that out. But I wouldn't have necessarily expected him to have told her at this point in their relationship.
I also do want to say that I also think it's completely legitimate to break up with someone and be upset that they had this in their past.
Oh, totally.
And didn't share it with you. And I think, you know, so I see both sides. I think that,
you know,
Veronica's a law-abiding person. She has a sense of justice. She has integrity. So I think it's understandable that she might say, oh, I don't want to date, you know, he's not who I thought he was. And I don't want to date somebody who's involved in this.
So stuff. I guess Team Troy is the wrong way to say it because I think they're both completely justified in their feelings and actions here.
Yeah, I agree. Other than the part where Troy is actually being shady currently.
Yes, right. Until we find that part out.
Yeah, but just his background itself, you know, he could still be a decent guy and be a changed man, but he's not. He's definitely not.
Yeah, it turns out no.
Then a couple other questions that we should ponder. I think this was brought up in the Reddit thread. So Cloudor on Reddit had said, plus he had another girlfriend, right? So he pretended to like Veronica in all previous episodes only for the purpose of smuggling drugs.
Yeah. So what's up with that?
Well, here's what I think, and I think some people in this thread agree. We don't know for sure if this was a crime of opportunity, that he went to Mexico with no ill intentions and then saw that Luke was doing this and decided to take advantage. Or it's possible that he did orchestrate this somehow that we didn't see. So my interpretation, to give Troy the benefit of the doubt, I don't think he was completely evil and malicious. I think he, you know, whether he was still actively in a relationship with Shauna or not, we don't know. Mm-hmm. He does talk to her like she's his girlfriend, but he could have just struck up again with her. It could be that they just got back together and now are going to run off with each other. Or it could be that they were actually in a relationship this entire time. But I do think he genuinely liked Veronica. I definitely don't think he was with her just for drug smuggling, because I don't think his relationship with Veronica had anything to do with the drugs. If anything, it was his relationship with her that got him caught.
Right. It also, I think it makes the most sense for it to be a crime of opportunity, because it just doesn't seem like something that could have reasonably been planned for this long or in this way. And like also getting this kid to be interested in using steroids for the baseball season. I don't know. It just seems like, seems far-fetched to imagine it as being highly orchestrated. And I could see both being true, that, you know, maybe he was still having, you know, some sort of contact or relationship with Shauna, but, you know, was not sure what was going to happen in the future. And, you know, then also met Veronica and then was enjoying Veronica's company. And then this opportunity came up and was like, oh, cool. I do really like Shauna. I can run away with Shauna now that I have steroids. So I think that makes the most sense, but it would be interesting to know what the writers intended there.
I think the best case scenario with Troy, to paint him in the very best light, would be it was a crime of opportunity.
Yeah.
He was dating Veronica genuinely. He was totally broken up with Shauna. Mm-hmm. Didn't think he'd be seeing her again. Was dating Veronica, was living a normal life, then saw this opportunity and took it. Worst case scenario is he had Shauna as his girlfriend the entire time and then, you know, orchestrated this plan. But even in that sense, he's not using Veronica for some means to an end.
Right.
He's still in the relationship. So, you know, at worst, he's two-timing. He's got two girlfriends at once, which is still bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. But he wasn't pretending to like Veronica.
Right.
For some reason.
Well, and I feel like we've seen enough of Troy that it's like he probably wasn't like seeing Shauna in person regularly. Although I don't actually know where she lives or what the deal is there.
True.
But like, it seems like he's been mostly just around Neptune and hanging out with Veronica. Mm-hmm.
So sucks for Veronica. Seems like she was in Detroit. Seemed like things were going pretty decently, but I don't know.
Marcy. Also, I just have to say, you know, when he opens the envelope and then finds her note, but then he's reading it while he's driving.
I noticed that too. That also kind of drove me crazy. I thought that's a little bit of a long note to be reading while you're driving.
It is. Also, you know? I mean, at that time there were probably not as, you know, we didn't have the texting while driving problem yet. Mm-hmm. So maybe there wasn't as strong of a convention about what you do while you're driving. But now, of course, I saw this and I was like, pull over. It's a long note.
I think that happens in TV movies a lot because, as you know, a great deal of the time they're not actually driving. In fact, there was a scene earlier when Veronica was driving Troy somewhere else where it looked pretty obviously like they weren't actually driving. But
yeah,
I mean, that's how TV works, you know. But yeah, it's always annoying in TV and movies when somebody is clearly fake driving, but you want them to at least act totally like they're driving.
Right.
So when they, you know, take their eyes off the road too long and are looking at the person next to them, it's just kind of annoying because it takes you out of it. So yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think his plan was very well formed, you know? Like, where were they going to go? What were they going to do? Was he just going to drop out of school and live on the lam?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And what is he going to do now?
Well, now he's probably definitely going to boarding school. I don't know. I guess now he's definitely to New Mexico.
True.
But he got kicked out of a boarding school. Yeah. But I guess maybe now he's going to more strict boarding school.
Now he has to go to the boarding school for troubled teens.
I see.
The one where that's rough. Make you scrub the toilets every day and stuff.
It's funny how going to boarding school is like either a really bougie rich person thing that's probably kind of cool. I mean, I don't know. I haven't clearly have not been to boarding school.
Of course.
Maybe it's not cool. It seems like nobody actually wants to go to boarding school in TV and movies anyway. It's just funny because it seems like boarding school is either for rich kids and it's a thing of privilege, or it's for troubled teens,
right?
Rich or not, but it's, you know, a huge punishment and it's like terrible.
Right.
So it's rough.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we talk about the other plot line of this show with
Keith yes.
and his new relationship?
Yeah, the guidance so counselor that he ran into at the coffee shop.
Yep.
Not so accidentally.
About that
yeah.
Previously.
Yeah, so they're straight up dating now. And Veronica seems pretty cool with this.
At first.
At first. Yeah. She's like, yeah, whatever. Hang out with her. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then later let's see. What are the first signs? She decides to do a background check on her, but I can't remember if anything happens to trigger that.
I think the first thing that happened, so she told Keith everything was cool. And then there was a scene where the guidance counselor, Rebecca, Miss James, came to the office to talk to Veronica outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica was totally like, this is really weird. This is super awkward.
Right.
Why are we doing this? And then they want Veronica to come to dinner, and she's like, oh no, that's a separate scene where she comes home and Ms. James is cooking dinner and cooking mm-hmm. Veronica's favorites.
Right.
And then Veronica's like, sorry, gotta go. So it seems to me that Veronica is fine with it in theory, but actually seeing them together maybe is troublesome.
Right.
Or she might just kind of resent the fact that Ms. James is trying to be all buddy-buddy with her.
Right.
And then Keith and Veronica have a big fight about it, where Veronica, I think she says things such as like, you just let her into our lives. And then of course she says, you know, she's angry that Keith isn't looking for her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Keith says, maybe I don't care to find her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Right. So, also in the scene where she comes home and Rebecca says she's making waffles and ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica suddenly has a flashback that feeds into mm-hmm. the larger plot line where Leanne found out that Veronica is dating Duncan and then seems very surprised and drops a bowl. And Veronica is saying, oh, I wonder why she was so upset about that.
Yeah, there's some really interesting stuff with that storyline where Veronica is remembering her mom being disturbed that she's dating Duncan.
Yeah.
We don't have any more info at this point about mm-hmm. that. You know, and then after the fight, Keith ends up breaking up with her because he says, Veronica's not ready to see me date.
Mm-hmm.
Also there was that scene where Keith comes home at like in the morning after being out all night with Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
Where Veronica says it's almost a walk of shame. It is the walk of shame, not that, you know, or a stride of pride, however you want to, however we're calling it these days.
Yep.
But I have to say, when I was watching that scene, I was like, man, I want to stay up all night and then sleep all day. I don't know why that looked so appealing to me. I was like, just the idea of sleeping all day seems very luxurious.
Wow. See, I saw that and I was like, oh man, what's he going to do? He probably has to like work today and he's so tired. Yeah. And oh man.
Well, he works for himself. He can just be like, I'm sleeping all day.
Yeah. I don't think it works that way.
It's not actually great, but just for some reason, I was like, I don't know. I want it to be super early in the morning and just going to bed. I'm crazy. I don't know. As I'm right now, it doesn't sound great at all.
It's okay. I mean, sometimes when I see people like going running and the sun is just barely coming up and I'm like, oh, that looks so great. I want to be up before the sun. So, you know, we're just weird in different ways.
And I'm like, I want to be up until the sun is back.
Right. And I want to go to bed when the sun goes down and get up just before it comes up.
I don't know. I had a moment. Quarantine's weird, y'all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have mixed feelings on this whole relationship situation. Oh, and we didn't mention that at one point, Veronica runs a background check on Ms. James and finds out that she is still married, mm-hmm. which is kind of sketchy, but
so is Keith.
I mean, to me, that's very sketchy, but
really?
Keith says, well, here's the thing. There are, unfortunately, a lot of situations where somebody will tell people that they're separated, but just not divorced yet.
Yeah.
And in reality, they're straight up just still married and in a relationship. Sometimes married men or women will have an affair, but tell the person like, oh, actually we're separated. The relationship's been dead for years.
Well, right.
We're just roommates at this point.
But I mean, just as well, you could claim to be single and have a significant other who you're not married to, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, but then at the same time, it could be, Keith says, I'm still married.
Right.
And I think we probably both feel like it's fine for Keith to be out and dating, I guess. I think people have really different opinions on this topic, because there are people out there who say it is not okay to date if you are still married, period.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who feel that way. I tend to think it's like a case by case basis.
Yeah.
I think if there's been a mutual agreement between the two people in the relationship that the relationship is over, then I kind of think it's fair game at that point. I don't know.
I think there are just a lot of different relationships out there, and they're just, they're all different.
Yeah. So, in this case, there are two people who are both very much separated. Well, we don't really know for sure with Rebecca, but, assuming that she's, so for one thing, Keith already knew what this information that was in the background check, which is that she's still married, or at least it seems that he already knew that. And then also that she was arrested when she was 21 for passing bad checks, which is also very sketchy, definitely a red flag, but she was 21. We don't know how old she is now, but she seems to be like at least in her late 30s.
Yeah.
So, just like with Troy, but even more so in this case, people sometimes commit crimes and go on to be upstanding citizens. And, it seems like Keith either already knew about this information or was fine with it when he saw it.
What I found more surprising was that when we learn about the background check tool, is that Veronica demonstrates it to Wallace by running his background check. And then she finds out that Wallace has already lost his license.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she's like, oh, let me show you how this works. And then she looks him up and she says, uh-oh, somebody lost their license. And he's like, well, I got it back. And then they just move on. And I'm like, what?
Wallace, what did you mean?
He's like barely 16. He's already lost his license and gotten it back. Of all the red flags, that one concerned me the most.
Oh my gosh. And it's not possible that she means like literally he lost his physical license and got it back, because that wouldn't be on a background check, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, dude, what'd you do?
Yeah. I feel like you have to do something pretty bad to lose your license. Like, it's not like you get a ticket and lose your license. Like, I mean, I guess maybe you could. Can you have your permit revoked for breaking the law? I don't know.
Probably. I mean,
but the only people I know who lost their license, like, had DUIs.
Well, I will confess that when I was 16 or 17, it was definitely kind of soon after getting my license, I got a bullshit ticket for driving into the exit of my high school parking lot, which everybody did. And then because it was so soon after getting my license, I feel like it was a really, I don't exactly remember the consequences. I had to go to traffic school, or, I did it online. And then when I was 18, I was driving on my college campus and I accidentally turned down a service road only by complete accident and was trying to turn around and was caught and pulled over and given a ticket for that. Oh. And then because I had these like two, things on my record after being so young, I don't remember. Like, I had to do traffic school again.
Uh-huh.
I think you're at traffic court, but like everything was fine. I didn't lose my license or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I remember that it was treated differently because, I'd only had my license for like under 2 years and had gotten two tickets.
Oh.
So I don't know. I don't know what the point of that story was.
Yeah. I thought you were going to confess to me that you lost your license.
No, I didn't lose my license.
It's funny that like one of the lessons here seems to be like, oh, everyone has stuff in their past. Seems to be like a little bit of a theme from a couple of these exchanges, but then it's also like, oh, but some stuff is bad and some stuff is less bad.
Because honestly, I think that writing bad checks is really bad, but I guess I don't know what the definition of writing a bad check is, because if your check bounces, that's not the same thing, right? This is like forging checks.
Oh, I thought that a bad check was just a check that you couldn't back up with your funds.
I know that if you write one check and your account doesn't have enough funds, it's, you know, a bounce check and they charge a fee. And then the person who was supposed to get the money finds out and is upset. And
yeah, but I think that's a bad check.
I don't know. But then that definitely wouldn't go on your background check if it was just like one. But maybe maybe that person can report it to the police.
Yeah.
And press charges. Maybe that's the situation.
Yeah. So, you know, I worked at a grocery store in high school where, you know, sometimes people write checks. Maybe they don't anymore. Yep. But back then they did. So they would keep track of people who wrote bad checks. And I think you can report that to the police. I don't know to what extent that happened. I don't know if you can report like one of them to the police, but I mean, it's basically fraud. So, but it could happen on accident.
Oh yeah. Okay. So if that's the case, I definitely don't think that that, I mean, we'd have to know the nuances of the situation, but somebody writing a check and not having enough money in their account to cover it is not what I was picturing. I was picturing literally like forging a check, like stealing a check from somebody and writing it to get money. Anyway, stealing checks or forging checks. Anyway, but then there's also a storyline with Veronica's mom, where Veronica, well, there's a couple things that happen actually. So she finds a safe deposit key and she gets in there by forging a death certificate. We could nitpick about like how that's not what a death certificate looks like, but like who cares? It's not like a diploma where it's like you hang it on your wall and it's decorative.
She also must have a very high quality printer. I have to say that this episode, I kept noticing the great ease with which she printed everything.
Oh yeah, me too. Because, you know, I don't have a printer. Do you have a printer?
Yeah. Well, I do, but it doesn't really work.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is in this day and age, you know, I don't have a printer, but when I do go to like somebody else's house and like, hey, can I use your printer for this random thing I need to print out? It's like, oh, we got it. Is it on the Wi-Fi? Like, what's the password? Like the name of this printer is like 5,000 letters and numbers and nobody can access it. And then like, the ink's all dried up and then like the alignment is off. Like nobody knows how to print anything.
Anymore. And then you turn it on and it just makes a bunch of noises and you're like, is that normal? Is it warming up? Is it trying to print something?
Yeah, that's a skill we've lost.
Yeah.
Also, how are you going to send your fax to the border to tell them to watch for Hank? Anyway, in the safety deposit box, there's these sketchy looking surveillance photos of Veronica from last year. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Yes.
It's also funny because they all have those like markings from the like that you see in the lens of the camera, I guess. That make them look sinister.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's some real shit.
Right. Yeah. Which I mean, are there any pictures that actually have those on it? Center crosshairs? Right.
I don't see crosshairs. That's what we call them. I can remember that word. I mean, I don't think you would want to have. Yeah, no, I don't think the camera like produces an image with crosshairs. I think you would have to like Photoshop those on after.
Right.
But I'm not the photography expert that Veronica is.
Right. Maybe you can get a camera that produces very sinister looking images with the crosshairs on them.
I highly doubt that would be done at the camera level. I'm sure that would be done in editing afterward. Because like, why would you want that?
So, so then she wonders, oh, maybe my mom was trying to protect me. And that's why she left.
Right. Does that make any sense? I mean,
no.
I guess if somebody's target was Leanne and then they were threatening Leanne with coming after Veronica.
Yeah.
Then that would make sense that Leanne had to leave in order to protect Veronica.
Yeah, but I guess that's a story.
We don't really, I mean, that's a story. And then at the end of the episode, Veronica is listening to her Discman. Well, okay, sorry, let's back up. Veronica sends out a bunch of burner cell phones to all of Leanne's like, friends and family where she'd be likely to possibly be. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the episode, post-breakup, Veronica is listening to Such Great Heights by the Postal Service, which is one of the best songs of our time.
They were also listening to this in the opening? Not the opening.
It was in the middle of the episode.
Kind
of.
Okay, yeah, an earlier scene.
Yeah, they were listening to it in the car. And actually, so Veronica and Troy were driving in the car. This song was playing. Mm-hmm. First, let me just say this song is so amazing. This is such a good song.
It's a great song.
I've added it to our Neptune Files playlist. Excellent. On Spotify. Mm-hmm. By the way, we have a Neptune Files playlist on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's public right now. I'll have to check it out. It also only has like 4 songs right now. Maybe 5. Yeah.
Small but mighty.
Yes.
5 fantastic songs.
It'll become rounded out over time. This is actually an example of diegetic sound, which I learned about from the podcast Literary Disco, which is one of my absolute favorite podcasts. It's actually a book podcast. And that podcast is hosted by 3 people, including Ryder Strong, who is an actor best known as from Boy Meets World. But he shows up on Veronica Mars later.
Oh.
Yes. He will make a guest appearance.
Okay. I forgot about that.
Yep.
That'll be interesting.
But I learned on that podcast what diegetic sound is. And I just Googled it to see what the terminology is. Diegetic sound is any sound presented as originated from source within the film's world. So they're riding in the car listening to the song, and then Veronica, one of them says, "I really like the song," and the other one says, "Me too."
Uh-huh.
So the implication is that you're listening to it on the car stereo.
Right.
Versus like a non-diegetic would be, it's just playing as the soundtrack of the show.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, it's kind of funny because they do show it as just playing over people at the border when Buff Dude is coming back into the U.S. with the drugs.
Okay.
So in that case, it's non-diegetic. But then we see Veronica listening to her Discman.
Right.
Listening to the song. So then it's diegetic again. So she's rocked out to an amazing song on her Discman.
Uh-huh.
Also, after I watched this episode, as I was going to bed, as I was adding it to the Neptune's File playlist, I started listening to the song and I was like, oh, I should listen to the song. And then I was just like, I can't do it. Too emotional.
Oh.
I'm just feeling too many things. Got to go get on TikTok. Got to suppress these feelings.
What kind of feelings were there?
I think it's just like such a beautiful song and it's very intense. I don't know. I just wasn't ready for it.
Mm.
You know, it's not really tied to a specific memory for me, even though there's definitely a time in my life when I would have listened to the song a lot, which would have been kind of shortly after it came out. But yeah, it's just such a good song.
It is a good song. Yeah.
So then her mom actually calls and she misses it, but we hear her voicemail and her mom's like, I'm thinking about you and I want to come back, but you know, everything will make sense at some point. And I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Everything will make sense.
It's all very sketchy.
Yeah. We'll see if it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Veronica had some really cute hair in this episode.
Which she style had, like, particularly?
Well, so first in the beginning, she has 2 little cute buns, like pigtail buns. That's super cute. Her other very cute hairstyle is when she has a cute little ponytail and then she has like the little bump up top.
Mm-hmm. She does have a very good ponytail, which is hard to do with short hair.
Yeah.
I can attest to it.
Even though I have long hair, I feel like I always want my ponytail to look like that. I want it to look cute, high up and secure, but I get a freaking headache if I do that.
Well, she has probably thinner hair than us for starters.
True. I'm also all about that little bump up top. I don't know what we call that. You know, like the Smith and Jersey Shore, but like smaller.
A pompadour.
Pompadour.
I think that's the dude version, right?
Oh, it's called a poof.
Oh, a poof. Okay.
That's right. A poof.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It started with a poof. Poof with a U.
I feel like hair right now is much more about being natural and loose and, you know, free flowing and not so stylized. But I still think her hair style was super cute.
Yeah.
Also, another pretty funny, interesting thing to mention. So, of course, Luke sells off his Barry Bonds signed baseball. And he's talking about how much money it's worth and how it's going to be worth so much money when he retires.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Barry Bonds was busted doing steroids.
Yeah. I think his stuff's still worth a lot of money. It might have had a dip around when that became news.
Just a funny little coincidence. I did feel bad for Luke that he had to sell his stuff. But as Veronica said, it's a ball or it's your life.
Right. But I did feel for him in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all for today.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Kids, don't drive into Mexico. Don't take steroids.
I mean,
don't
you could
your driver's license.
You could drive into Mexico. I don't know that that's a universal. Yeah.
Don't drink the water in Mexico.
That is a fact. Don't do it.
Don't run background checks on your partners. Just don't. Nope. Nobody needs to know.
Well,
we're just better off not knowing, right?
Up for debate.
We will be seeing you in episode 6. Bye.
Bye.